You're listening to The Harvest Podcast, a podcast to help you discover purpose, passion, and potential. Join us each month for new episodes to help you discover what God is planting in a simple, everyday person's life. Now, here's your host.
All right, well, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Harvest Podcast. And hey, today I'm super excited to get to sit down with my friend, Frank. Frank, how are you?
Bro, I'm doing amazing. I'm doing amazing. Thanks for having me, man.
Dude. Just from talking to you in the past, I'm excited to have this episode to really just get to sit down, talk a little bit about transparency. I know our listeners are going to love to get to hear your story. So we'll just have you start off. Tell us what you do first. Tell us about the organization you're a part of, and then we'll have you tell your testimony.
Awesome. So I do a couple of things. One of the things I do is I do ministry at Church 1132 in Allen, Texas with our lead pastor, Pastor Dustin Bates. And then I'm under our youth pastor as well, my boy, Cameron Andoni. And so I just kind of help out, help lead the youth, help lead the young adults. I'm really invested in that. Help with the small groups, building community, things of that nature, pastoring off of the stage as well, just meeting with kids and whatnot. And then on top of that, I work for a company called ChurchBase where we design mobile apps for churches to help them reach more people and engage their current congregation. And then on top of that, I do a podcast of my own also. And then I also started a social media marketing company with one of my buddies from the church. So I got my hands in quite a bit of different things, but all time management.
Dude, it definitely is. And I love marketing. It's always been a fun hobby of mine to do. And, you know, it definitely opens a lot of doors to just really help you, especially with ministry. I love taking ministry, looking at it in marketing, is you're helping people share their story, sharing their passions, what they're wanting to do, their dreams, and just really helping them bring it to life. And I love that aspect of ministry and marketing because it all goes together well. And a lot of times we don't even recognize it, how much we're sharing the gospel through whatever we do as a job. So I love that about you, man. And go ahead and tell us your story. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. So my story is, it's pretty interesting. At least I would hope so on my end, because I lived it. It's my movie that I'm living. But I came to know the Lord pretty young, probably like 14 years old. But when we moved here, I was 2 years old. I'm full-blooded Mexican, born in Chihuahua, Mexico. Chihuahua like the dog, like the little dogs that don't stop barking. And we came over here illegally, actually. So me and my brother, my mom, my dad, we were over here, illegal immigrants, all of that jazz. My dad worked two jobs, slept about 4 hours a day just to be able to make enough money to eventually be able to start like the neutralization process for us. And so very old school Mexican background, which is very Catholic, but I've honestly been really blessed with my parents because they're the kind of people that are like, chase what you love and chase what you've always wanted to do, and we'll support you regardless. Like, it's not about how much money you do or anything like that, right? So one of my cousins started taking us to church, and we were just going to church with her, and then that's kind of what led us to the Lord. We actually went to the youth camp, YFN, hosted by CFNI, and I got saved there. Me and my brother. And, after that, it was just kind of like saved as in like, I knew who Jesus was and I wanted him in my life, but then I never got taught how to like properly live it out and like day by day what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I think is a huge crutch, and I hate that word crutch, but let's say how it is. I think it's a huge crutch in most churches right now. We want to save lives. People raise their hand. We count down how many salvations we had on Sunday. And then our follow-up process to teach them how to read the Bible, teach them how to pray. Sometimes it's just not very good. And so I was a product of that, if I'm being honest. So in high school, I dealt with a lot of issues. As far as insecurity wise, I got dumped by my first girlfriend. She left me for someone else. And you would not think that did anything, but that just, I didn't even know this until last year, but that completely ruined my entire life. because after that, I started dealing with abandonment issues and like loneliness issues. And then that started kind of evolving into a sexual addiction in high school. Mm-hmm. So it came to a point where if I wasn't dating someone and having sex with them, I just wasn't happy or feeling my best self, which sounds just like a drug addict or an alcoholic. Yeah. Like you're just not, you do not feel whole unless you have that. And no one was teaching me how to walk a life with Christ. So if they weren't teaching me what's really going to fill that void, I was just running to what would fill the void eventually, like initially and just do it over and over and over again. And so that's pretty much my story, man. I went through that. Fell into sexual addiction. I ended up getting married. As you can see, like, you know, I have like my ring tattooed here. But that ended up in divorce because I still never got help with the stuff that I was going through. And for any young person out there who says, hey, my lust is going to chill out when I get married, boy, are you wrong. are you wrong. You better start fixing right now, and or at least addressing when you're 16, 15 years old, what you're going through, because it will affect you when you're 30 if you leave it untouched. And so for me, you know, I ended up losing my family because of my sexual addiction. I ended up, you know, cheating, all of that stuff. And what's crazy is that I had been in ministry already before. Before I was married, I had been in ministry. I was actually from what my buddy tells me, I was going to be the youth pastor of the church that I'm at now. And then, you know, stuff ended up happening there that were related to my addiction. And I told my pastor, I confessed it to my pastor, and I was like, hey man, I don't want to be like this, but this is what happened. And then I pretty much got the boot, right from the position, rightfully so. Because I was having like a relationship, and in that relationship, it was just impure, you know, like, so I take that over into marriage. I lose my marriage. This happened in 2019. It was March 5th, whenever she walked out. And I'll never forget that, you know, and I have like my full testimony, like on my own podcast also, because there's a whole lot of detail in it, but I'll never forget that God had promised me. I had promised God 3 years with a business that I had started. And I was like, if you give me 3 years and you help me make it for 3 years, I'm like, I'll go back to ministry and doing what you've called me to do. Well, that time was up whenever my wife left, right? And so that business ends up crumbling. I was still doing everything the right way. I was a broker. So I ran a logistics company, a trucking company, and I ran probably about 30 different trucks like in the area where I'm at. And I was the highest paying broker. So everyone wanted to work with me because I paid about $15 an hour more per truck. And then all of a sudden trucks just stopped showing up to jobs and stuff. And so my company, I completely lose my company. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was just sitting there and I just remember literally being like, God, what the F?
Yeah.
And I said the word because I was so frustrated. And he just reminded me of that promise that I made him. And he was like, it's time. It's time. And he was saying it's time when I was in the worst time of my life, which was I had just lost my family, literally. Yeah. And so I got to a place really, really quickly where I was like, if no one's going to teach me how to do it, I need to do it. Granted, I had already done training in my church. Like, I had been very heavily invested in my church prior to all of this, right? So I knew how to pray. I knew how to read. But it was time to get real with God. Mm-hmm. And it was time to make God real for me. And so I remember trying to like reach out to my pastors, and they would respond. They'd be there for me, you know. And then like when everything like freshly happened, well, then life happens for most people, right? And I think a lot of people can relate with this right here. Whenever you reach out to your community and they let you down, like it sucks, you know, it hurts because you want people to be there for you. And those are the people that you're trusting and all that stuff. Well, for me, what I had done is I was putting so much trust into other people that I was making them God. I was literally making my community God. And so then God took me through a process where he was like, community with God has to come before community. Because if I can go to God for every single thing that I need, and this doesn't mean isolate myself, which he actually did isolate me. You know, people say isolation's bad. Not always. Yeah. A lot of the prophets in the Bibles dealt with isolation. David, Moses, all of these people dealt with seasons of isolation because God was preparing them for something. This is what I was going through. And so in those moments was when I got the realest that I've ever been with God. I just literally like talked to him about every single pain that I was feeling, why I was feeling it. I asked him, I was like, Holy Spirit, I need you to show me where these things are coming from so that I can really, really move forward. And when the Bible says that he's a healer, he's a healer. When it says that he is a wonderful counselor, he is a wonderful counselor. Yeah. I have been to counseling before, like, and there is no better session than the sessions that I had on my knees, pouring out tears out of my eyes, just talking to God and reading his word and letting his word read me. And after that, man, my life just got changed. And my heart got so pure for people. It got so pure to love people. It got so full of grace because I've been through so much. I've had so many letdowns where I've let people down, and God just keeps picking me up. And I'll never forget the moment whenever, you know, my ex-wife had left at that point, and I went into a room and I just started talking to him, and he was there. Like, and I feel like I have a pretty good gift, like, on hearing the voice of God and just like how he speaks. And I just heard him so clearly all over again, man. And I'll never forget what I said. I was just like, thank you for never leaving. Like,
amen.
Like, you're the one person that has never left, no matter what I've done. And he was like, it's because I love you. It's because I love you. And that changed my life. That moment right there, that's when I said, I was like, never again, man. Like, I don't want anything else. And I'm just going to do whatever it takes. And he just started, man, working on my heart. Next thing you know, this church that I'm at that I should not be at for all of... Bro, when I tell people that me and our lead pastor have like a deep relationship, they're all like, man, I wish I had that. And I'm like, you do not wish that you went through what me and him went through. I'm like, multiple patio conversations with him, like... I'm like, I remember telling Pastor Dustin, I was like, D, I feel like if anyone was close to making you give up on Christianity, I think it was me. And he was like, bro, you're not far off. So then God starts restoring, like, after 10 years, bro, that I lost, like, that I got pretty much booted from the church, right? At about 10 years, he starts just working things. And I wasn't pushing anything, man. I was just like attending services, wanting to serve wherever I could if they wanted me there, right?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm back in youth ministry. Next thing you know, I'm back in young adult ministry. And then I'm just wanting to love on people and talk to people and meet with people. And now this, like in 2 weeks, I'm speaking at an event with, you know, Pastor Jared Ellis, Pastor Jeremy Johnson from Fearless LA, Pastor Becky Johnson from Jesus Culture, and Pastor Tyler Wooten from WG. Like, I'm just, and I'm like, bro, who am I, right? Who the heck am I to be there? And then now I'm also speaking at an event. It's a Spanish event only, but you know, I'm closing down the church camp with like the pastor for Hillsong Buenos Aires and then someone else from Upper Room. And I'm like, God, like this has got to be you, because I wasn't asking ever for an opportunity or anything like that, you know? And for me, that's just a testimony of like God's grace, that even when you give up on it, he does not give up on it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that dream to me was like so far gone, like of being in ministry again and really doing what God's called me to do. And he was like, no, son, like you took garbage and you put it in my hand and watch what I do with it.
And it comes art. Mm-hmm. Dude, I love that. There is One of the greatest lessons I've learned is the power of simply saying yes.
Yeah.
I had the same similar story to you. When I met God, I said this on our last episode. I didn't have this radical church experience. I didn't care about church. I didn't want to go to church. I was in my bedroom. I was on my knees. I'd just been told that the brother that we were expecting to be born no longer had a heartbeat. And wow. I was crushed. I wanted a baby sibling so much in my childhood. And I was on my knees. I was like, how can you be the God of miracles? How can you be the God of love? And
yeah.
I've heard this in worship leaders who have now denounced their faith in Christ. It's like, there's people suffering, and how can you call him a God of miracles? And it's like, because it's what he does when we're intentional with him. Like, those people may be suffering, but I promise you, some of those people who are suffering are the happiest people you'll ever meet because of the relationship with Christ.
Yes.
I spent in January of 2020, I spent a couple of weeks in Haiti, and they don't have a lot there, but they were some of the happiest people I ever met because they were grateful for what they did have.
Yes.
And that was a lesson I learned on my knees when I was 12 in my bedroom crying that I just lost something I had wanted greatly. And it was 8 years later now that I've re-grabbed a hold of that lesson. And God, especially now in this season, I was sharing with you a little bit ago about what the seasons look like for me right now. And it's been that reminder of what God will do when we say yes.
Yes. And dude, and here's the thing. We all know that God does not cause pain. And if we don't, then you need to know that. God does not cause pain. But he uses pain to produce purpose. And that's just a fact. Like, anything that you've been through that hurt you, that tore you down, there's a reason why the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. If we are supposed to be tiny Jesuses, we need to have some stripes on us, bro. And we get stripes with pain. And when we're wounded, it doesn't mean we're wounded. It means that we're marked, and we're marked for victory. And so people need to know that. They need to know that God isn't causing this pain. But how is he going to use it right now? And if he doesn't use it right now, how is he going to use it in a year, in 5 years? In my case, you know what I mean? Like, years down the road.
Oh, for sure. And when I was on my knees, it was simply, okay, God, let me get my life together. And then we'll do whatever it is. And it was like, no, like, you can start now. Like,
yeah.
This world, it needs to see broken people.
Yes. Because
it shows us that we're human. And that's what I love about podcasting, creating a culture of family and community online is showing, like, hey, through brokenness, through trials,
it
causes us to come together. I mean, through, the racial injustice, I mean, I've never seen more people come together and fight for a cause or a purpose. And I think that's so powerful. As somebody who said yes, and that yes turned into a movement. I mean, look at for you. It's turned into a culture and a movement for you to help other people want to be real in their life.
Yeah.
Take ownership of it. Like, I mean, for me, it was sexual abuse. Like, I didn't want to take ownership of that. Like, I was a baby. I didn't want no part of that in my life.
And God said, I can imagine.
God says, hey, you're going to use this story one day to help other people change their life.
Let's go. And
when I was 12, I actually started my own summer worship at our church. Our church didn't do any summer activities. I was like, come on, we got to do something. Like, God's laying on my heart. Like, we have to be praying for people, loving people. Like, right after I just gave my life to Christ, it was already like God laid this platform to start something for people. And the pastor said, okay, but if we only have 5 people at the service, you're going to be preaching. And I was like, whatever. Like, we're going to have more than that. I'm never going to have to preach. And for the first month or so, I mean, we had 60, 80, 100 people.
That's amazing.
First month of July, 5 people at this one service. It was weird. It was like, all of a sudden, it just kind of dropped. And the pastor's like, our associate pastor's like, all right, I want to hear Isaac speak. And then our pastor who helped me start this, he was like, I told you if it was 5 people.
You were preaching.
And I was like, and so it was almost like, what did I do? I was like, we're not going to have a church to come back to, like, after I'm done. And that night that I preached, we had 160 people, the most we'd ever had. And I just got real. I said, this is my life. I am a broken 12-year-old who was sexually assaulted at a young age.
Bro.
I went through an addiction to the point where I almost found myself in jail at 12 or 10 to 12. And I was like, this is my life. And now I'm trying to figure out what Jesus wants to do with me. And then when I was 14, I actually wrote a book about it and just shared my story and then did a 30-day devotional to help people discover how to overcome their hurts and their pain.
Yeah.
And God laid that platform. And part of my testimony actually goes into how I was sick as a child, lived in children's hospital for the first 2 years of my life, getting treatment and other stuff, crazy stuff. And we actually used the proceeds of the book to support kids and children hospital. And, you know, God just laid on my heart that this was an avenue to support people. Last week, I actually had the privilege to sit down with Children's Hospital and share my experience. Like, this is what, you know, doctors and nurses have done for me over the past 17 and a half years of my life, getting ready to turn 18. I still had the same nurse today that I did when I first started going when I was born. And I was like, so, I mean, those people have seen me grow up into this person, all because of somebody who is willing to say yes. And
yes.
Look at you. I mean, you're a firm testimony of what God can do when you say yes. And
yes.
I love that story. I love that you were vulnerable about that, because, I mean, there's a lot of times where it's like, you know, this is just easier to keep right here.
Yeah. Well, bro, my biggest thing is, like, everything that you just said, and the reason why I am so open about, like, you know, because that's not something to be proud of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, hey, by the way, I struggled with a sex addiction and I've divorced before I'm 30, right? Nobody wants to say that. But look at the people that are the hardest to reach are the doubters, right? Look at doubting Thomas. Look at Thomas. What finally got him to believe was Jesus showing him his scars.
Yeah.
Literally showing him his scars is what got him to finally believe. And I believe that that is what God has put me on this earth to do, to show my wounds, to show my scars. Because if all I ever do, if me and you are boys, and you've probably seen this happen, and all we do is share our victories, what happens? The next guy has a better story.
Yeah. And then we're all like, I got to go do something cooler.
Yeah, exactly. So it breeds competition and comparison. But if we can share our vulnerabilities, if we can share our weaknesses with each other, it opens the door for compassion and empathy. And that's when real relationship and growth can begin to happen. I truly believe that.
Dude, for sure. And sometimes, I mean, I have 100% believed that your story will change the life of high school students. I feel God has opened that door back for you now to say, I was sitting in your seat thinking I could probably leave this whenever I wanted. It didn't have a hold of me.
Yes.
Until now I saw it had a hold of me. Mm-hmm. And I see that comparison so many times where it's like, I do this, like, oh, I won a championship, or, you know, I have the highest score on whatever game I'm playing that's in now. And sometimes it's just, we have to drop the bomb and say, well, you're doing this, but this is me. This is my mess. This is what I'm going through. Because in reality, they're probably going through something similar. And God has placed you to say, we have to have these conversations. And that's one of the things I especially have struggled through throughout high school, was simply seeing my friends, seeing their hurts, but them hiding in them. And allowing that to become their identity. And one of the things I had the privilege to do this past year was actually share my story about my addiction and my abuse. I was working with a group and we produced these videos that shared a parent's story who actually lost her child, a parent who still has her child. Now he's a pastor, one of my great friends. And then we had our sit down conversation with me and my mom about how it affected us. And when we were talking with this group, it was simply, I just want to share my story with you because, you know, simply how you do in your podcast, like, well, we have to be real. And I think if we want to change the hearts of our students in public school, we have to be honest with them. And it comes, I mean, it simply comes by a peer. Like, yes. It goes by somebody changing your heart to want you to become motivated to reach in that next generation. And our superintendent was like, you know, would you ever feel comfortable sharing that story? And I was like, in my heart, I was like, I've been doing this since I was 12. Like, of course, I'm going to be comfortable. And so we produced the video. The teachers, we showed it to first, like, this is the bomb that's about to be dropped on our school. Some of them were in tears. And it's like, this was a messy part of my life that destroyed me.
Yeah. And,
but because of that, I'm one of the happiest people today.
Yes.
Like, I'll actually tell you, I actually have conversations with the person who abused me. Like, we have a great relationship now because we came to, in our heart, I mean, he was young. We came to a place of forgiveness.
And wow.
Now God has opened a window for us to grow together. And then we share that story within our school. Like, how can we reach? And it was that same message. What, this is what my life has become because I was willing to say yes. And now God has turned a mess into something beautiful. He turned it into something that has now became art. And that's what I love about this topic of community and just being sitting at a table, essentially, like just inviting someone. I want to have a conversation with you and hope that what I say will plant a seed. And your story definitely will plant many seeds. And so I thank you for sharing that, man. I know it can be tough. I mean, for me, sometimes I still cry when I share my story. Like, it's not that it's easy to talk about or that it's just simple to say, because I mean, it still hurts. Like, there's still pieces of my heart that still hurt from what I went through as a kid. But there's nothing more rewarding than somebody saying, because of what you did, my life has changed now. Because of how I saw Jesus in your story, my life has changed. And sometimes, I mean, some, even if it's not believers, I've seen people's lives who they're like, I don't believe in God, but you know, your story, you know, it had power and it spoke something into me. And I mean, there's times we don't realize how much we share the gospel with non-believers just by our actions. Like,
just by being.
And I'm always sharing my story with people wherever I go, because I mean, I want to be 100% real with anybody. Like, I mean, I'm always honest. When I have conversations with people or jobs and stuff, like, you can ask me whatever you want, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you about the time I was in addiction, what that process looked like for me, the hurt I caused people. Because for me, there was years of trying to, I mean, it's hard. I mean, you probably know this from what you went through with your ex-wife. It's hard to communicate that you're changed because it's so easy to say, I'm going to be done with it. And we keep running back.
And yeah, it's something that honestly you can't communicate, if we're being honest, because you yourself, like, you have to fight it every single day, and it gets easier and easier and easier. I'm like, but honestly, it's like, I can't say, oh, I'm changed, because I'm constantly being changed. I can say I'm changing. You know what I'm saying? Because to me, it's progression, it's process the whole time. And so, like, that's the biggest thing for me, is like, I constantly want to be evolving. And if I say I've changed, to me, that's like, I don't know, I just can't say that. And honestly, I've never said that to my ex-wife. You know what I mean? I've never once told her, hey, by the way, I've changed, because I'm like, you know, like, it is what it is. God's going to use what he needs to use out of it. And like, I don't want to be a person that says this and then can't back it up anymore. I just want to be a person that lives in truth. And you probably know this too, man. When you're in the middle of all that, when you're in the middle of addiction, in the middle of pain, it's just cloudy.
Yeah.
It's so cloudy. Like, you're in the moment, but you're not present. And then you can't really recall to certain things, and things are just kind of blurry. It almost feels like some of them were dreams, and you just kind of like, you know what I mean? When you have a dream and it feels so real, and then you wake up and then in 2 hours, you're like, wait, what'd I dream about? Like, yeah. That's literally what it feels like. And people, a lot of people that don't, that have, you know, have the blessing of not dealing with an addiction, a lot of them don't understand that, but that's really how it is. It's super, super, super cloudy. And it's something that I wouldn't want to wish on anyone. And honestly, like if I had a choice, I would so much rather get like speak to people about what I've been through than get asked to like teach on leadership or things like that. Because to me, I'm like, if you can be real with someone and you can be genuinely transparent, like life change can happen there.
For sure. And I mean, look at Jesus's life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably one of the messiest we've ever seen someone go through.
Oh yeah.
And I feel we miss that conversation. Like we just kind of hop over, like we look at everything he did, but we don't want to look at the mess he went through. And sometimes I like ask myself, like, when I'm talking to people, like, do these people really know what Jesus did for us? Like the pain he went through? Because I mean, we get a paper cut and it's the end of the world. Like this person had nails go all the way through his hands and we complain of a paper cut.
And or someone talks about us and then we're like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah. And Jesus is over there getting nailed to a cross. And I'm like, what makes you think that you're not going to go through any persecution and that everyone in this world is going to love you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've had multiple conversations where, you know, I get called out and it's like, at first I'm like, who the heck do you think you are calling me out? Like, look at everything I've done. And then it's like, all right, Jesus, thank you for calling me out. Like, I needed it. I mean, it's easy to get in our head. And
yeah,
I mean, for us, especially in the ministry world, because we're always, you know, we're not always seeing fruit being produced in people, but then when we do see it, it's like, oh yeah, we're cool, like we're awesome, we're doing all these great things, and then Jesus kind of like poof, like, no, that was me, stop taking the credit for my work.
Yeah. And bro, something that I tell people all the time, and I wish I would have came up with this, but I didn't, Pastor John Gray came up with it, but he said that we do not see change, we seed change.
Yeah.
So
amen.
Like at the end of the day, it's Jesus who does it. He's like, it's just our job. Because if we're so focused on seeing the change, then we will begin to develop frustration whenever there is no change. And now we're not ministering out of love anymore. But there is, like, now it's looking gray in our leadership. You know what I'm saying?
We talked about this. Our other host, he's a youth pastor. And we talked about this because it's hard to see fruit being produced in youth sometimes. You have a couple who are on fire, they're speaking it, but then the rest you kind of just get I raise my hands when the pastor tells me. I just want to stay here with my friends. I don't sing.
Yeah.
I just stand there with blank faces. And it's like, God, am I really doing something good? And that was one of the hardest questions I had last year in our youth ministry. I was like, God, like I'm not seeing any fruit. And we had a girl who actually wrote us like a couple of days after I had this conversation with God, like, God, I just need you to show me I'm doing something good, because I was in that gray moment. Like I'm feeling like what I'm doing is not valuable right now. And then we had this girl who just wrote our leadership letter about how each of us have touched her life individually. And it was like, all right, God, I will not question that again.
Yes. A lot of the times, honestly, it's those kids that are being impacted the most. It's the quiet ones, because think about it. Like, okay, so I used to fight Muay Thai, like train Muay Thai and jiu-jitsu. And when we kicked, you knew it was a good kick if you could barely hear it connect, because it was deep. Like, and I'm talking about, it was like your shin was touching like their thigh bone deep. Right? But if you heard like a slap, like a loud noise, then it's just a surface level kick. It's a slap. It's not hurting. And I could prove it to you if you wanted me to. I could kick you in the leg, and if it sounds like a slap, it hurts. But if it goes quiet and it sounds like a thud, you're gonna buckle down, right? It's the same thing with kids. Like some of the loud ones, like God's touching them, God's working in them, but those quiet ones, bro, like there's a deep, deep, deep work. Think about any time that you've had a crazy moment with the Lord. You've probably gone quiet and it's just like you're listening and you're listening and he's speaking and you're speaking to him from your spirit. I mean, cause I'm a travailing prayer. I'm like an interceder. Like I'm loud. Yeah. I'm the guy at church that like, you know what I mean? If you've never prayed before, like I'll probably scare you a little bit. But that's just how I am. But then there's those moments with the Lord where it's just like, and he's doing a deep, deep work and it, you just kind of like, oh, he puts you in a place and holds you there and he does what he does. So sometimes, bro, like those kids are the ones that are getting the most work done.
Dude, for sure. And my heart has always been it transformed into, you know, they may not have connected with it in that present, in that room, but then they're going home and they're reflecting on it.
Yes. And
it's when they're quiet, when there's nobody else around them to distract them, that they're having that encounter with God. And that's what I've loved about this season right now is I've always found that my personal time with God is when I connect with him. When, you know, after I take notes, after worship, and I'm just going back home and I'm just having that conversation, like, what am I really learning here?
Yes.
It's those moments when I really find God show up in my life. Whenever I turn on maybe some soft piano music or just some worship music, and I just, you know, allow God to take control of my heart. And it's in those moments where it's like that deep feeling, like, you know, I mean, there's people who say, like, when I met my wife or whatever, like, I just knew the first time I laid my eyes on her, like, she was the one. You just have that deep feeling. And that's what I feel with God is like, and that's what I search in a person now is when I feel like, maybe I'm going to start this relationship. Like, does this person make me feel like God does? Like, does it come close? Because if it doesn't, then I'm like, I don't think this relationship is right, because there's something so special when you find that love.
Yeah.
That is, like you said, I never want to go back.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's been times in my life where it's like, God, is ministry the right path? But then it always comes back, you know, there's those moments where you have your setbacks, but then it just comes back and you're like, you know what, God, there isn't nothing. Like, whatever I could try to do, it's not going to show up to what you have blessed me with, even if it's not a lot. My life has been always, I've built what God has given me, like with that opportunity, and it's nothing special. It's nothing major. It's not going to, you know, maybe it will reach 1 million people one day. Maybe it won't, but that's not the case. It's simply just taking what you have, the platform he's giving you, and just give it your all. Whether that's like in marketing or sales, or maybe it is a full-time ministry. Some of my favorite people that have passed in my life have been construction workers. Like, God gives us platforms in weird ways. And, you know, people who work in grocery stores, you know, they're just viewed as the low income people not doing anything with their life. But it's like, some of those people are the most, like, I can't even talk about the lessons they've given me in my life that have made me been like, how much more have I cherished God now because of those conversations? And it wasn't until like I inserted myself into some of those situations that it's like, it doesn't matter if we're, you know, making minimum wage or if we're making $1 million, because it matters what the platform we're given and saying yes to that platform. And, you know, for me at first, at first I was going to be a baseball player, never had intentions to do ministry. My grandparents were always like, you're going to be a pastor one day. I was like, you're nuts. I don't like talking to people. And then when I was 12, God was just like, you're going to be a pastor. And at first I was like, well, that takes a long time to get there. And God's like, you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to be 30. You don't have to be in your 40s. Like, I just need you to say yes. And then God gave me this online platform to simply speak God's word, speak his word, share his love with people. And I mean, at first I was like, I'm going to go to college, be a pastor. Now I'm like, do I want to go to college and put myself in debt? Because, you know, God has already showed me this is what your vision is. And I mean, I could go work at a grocery store, do my online ministry, and I think I'd be the happiest person in the world. And so many times we chase after money and we lose sight of our happiness. And
yes,
I mean, for you, you have a daughter, and you know, I mean, she's probably the love of your life. And mm-hmm. you would do, I mean, we all know you would do anything for her, and it just comes down to it. I mean, that's the heart for Christ.
Yes.
It's that same love that you have for your child. Or for me, it's, I mean, mine is student ministry. And I was having this conversation the other day, is, you know, the love of your life. I mean, for you and maybe your daughter, for some people, maybe their wives, for their job. And that's where I found my love is in student ministry and finding those students who are broken, and just inviting them to be part of a broken community of people who want to share love together. And I knew in that moment when I said this, it was God reminding me of why I started, why I said yes in the first place, was to go chase after, like, the song Reckless Love, one of my favorite songs. I had a book called The Crippled Lamb, and it was about how the shepherd left and went and found the one lamb. He had a broken leg, and I just love that story and how this cow took the lamb in, essentially. And yeah. You know, so many times I've gone back and just read that book, and it's kind of like, sometimes you're like, why this book's made for children, and I'm like, but it's one of the most poetic stories in my life that have ever transformed me. And because it's either Reckless Love or the story that God always brings me back to share my mission, to remind me, hey, remember why you started. When you said yes, it was to go after the one person, like you.
Yes, were yes.
Like Jesus didn't want 99. He didn't want a million people. He didn't want thousands of people. He didn't care if you had 2,000 Instagram followers or a million Instagram followers or 10 Instagram followers. He needed one person.
Yes.
And I think that is crazy, because I mean, we look at it, you know, Jesus died on the cross for everybody. But mm-hmm. I mean, you can read in scripture where it says he died on the cross for you.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, I died for the world, everybody.
Yeah.
He makes yeah. it intentional. And I think that's what Very is so important, is Jesus died for you. Yes, mm-hmm. he died for me too. But he wanted, in that moment, he wanted to make it intentional to reach yes. you one-on-one. And that's why I think it's important for all of us to say yes. No matter, I mean, I don't know what the outcome looks like still. Mm-hmm. I just simply know God gave me a vision to help people discover purpose, passion, and potential.
Yes, bro. There's this tattoo that I want to get. and so I have this vision of it. So have you ever heard of rhinos and like how their vision works?
I've not.
So rhinos, they see about 7 feet in front of them, but they'll charge anything that's like 20 yards away, even though they can't fully see it, but they can sense it, and they won't just kind of jog. They'll charge 100%, go all out. And the closer they get, the more they see as they're running, since they can only see 7 feet ahead of them, right? Yeah. And I want to get this tattoo. It's called Rhino Vision, because I believe that we should all have Rhino Vision. Mm. And all that means is saying yes. If God puts something in your heart, do not wait. Do not wait until it's crystal clear, because, hey, guess what?
It's probably never going to be.
It's probably never going to be crystal clear. But the more you step, the more you move toward it in faith, God will begin to meet you. And I think God does that very strategically, right? It says, for we have all come fall short of the glory of God. That is for a reason. Because if Frank ends, if all of my talent, all of my gifting ends, all of my resources end, now God has to come through. Yeah. And that's when he comes through. But if my boy Isaac is only operating off of his gifts and talents and never pushes himself to go past that, you're never giving God room to close the gap. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So whoever is listening to this, like, say yes. Like, just say it. And honestly, if you feel like you're being, like, called to ministry and to pastor, do not wait on a stage, because you need a stage to preach, but you do not need a stage to love people and pastor people. Amen. And at the end of the day, that is what it's all about. If you know how to pray, then pray, because if you pray the heart of God, he'll give it to you, and then you can give that to people. And then eventually when the stage comes, you can begin to share from the platform. But before that moment happens, say yes and start discipling people, start pastoring, start loving on some students.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, I thought my platform was going to be a stage, and it became a computer, meeting people where they're at. And that's what's awesome about ministry.
Yes.
Anywhere. It goes with you everywhere you go.
Dude.
No matter where you're at, you have the opportunity to do something good for somebody else. And hey, as we close up, I want to give you the opportunity just to share one piece of advice for anybody listening. What would your biggest piece of advice in this moment be for them?
Oh man, dude. I would say be the realest version of yourself when you talk to God. Mm-hmm. And what I shared earlier, community with God has got to come before community. Because if you have prayer, you have everything. If you're dealing with anxiety and you want freedom from it, pray. If you have depression and you want joy, pray. If you want to walk in boldness and courage, pray. If you need help in your finances and you need a new job and a new opportunity, pray. If you're dealing with insecurities and you don't know who you are, pray. Like, just be as real as you possibly can with God, and He will become so tangibly real to you that your life will begin to transform little by little, one day at a time. And next thing you know, you're going to be a completely different person, and you're going to be 10 times happier talking with God than you are going to be gossiping with your friends.
Yeah, dude, I love that. And being real is hard, but you'll never regret it.
1,000%.
You'll never regret it. Thank you for joining us today. And for those of you who want to listen to Frank's podcast, we will put a link down below so you can connect with him. There's definitely some real truth in being real with yourself, being real with God, being vulnerable about what you have to say. And as always, we love you guys. We thank you that you were here today. Until next time, remember all the things God is planning in you. Thanks for joining us.